Public Radio News at 9:06.
From New Hampshire Public Radio, I'm Laura Kanoy, and this is The Exchange. The New Hampshire House recently passed three abortion bills. One would ban late-term abortions. Another has to do with the state's parental notification law. It would no longer mandate weekend access to courts for minors seeking a judge's permission to have an abortion. But it's the third bill that's attracted the most attention and the most controversy. It's called the Women's Right to Know Act. It would require doctors to give women detailed information about abortion, including a video on fetal development, a list of adoption agencies and other social service groups, and materials the bill claims show a direct link between abortion and breast cancer. The woman would also have to wait 24 hours after receiving all this to have the procedure done. The bill supporters say it's a simple matter of giving women what they need to make an informed choice. But opponents call it bad medicine and bad public policy. They say it intentionally invokes shame upon women already in an extremely difficult situation. And they argue that some of the health risks the bill describes are simply not true. Today in The Exchange, we look at the abortion debate as it's been evolving in New Hampshire, and let's hear from you, too. What do you think of these efforts to raise the threshold before a woman can have an abortion? Should the state make it tougher for women to choose this option or not? And what about girls under age 18? Do they, in your opinion, fall into a different category? Give us a call. Tell us what you think. The Exchange number, 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR, or you can send us an email, exchange@nhpr.org, or send us your thoughts on our Facebook page. Our guests are State Representative Candace Bouchard. She's a Democratic state rep from Concord, co-chair of the House Reproductive Rights Coalition. And Representative Bouchard, nice to see you. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Also with us, Senator Ray White, Republican state senator from Bedford and Merrimack, and a co-sponsor of the Women's Right to Know Act. And Senator White, welcome back to The Exchange. Good to see you, too.
Good to see you.
Well, Senator White, I want to start with you first. You're listed as a co-sponsor on this Women's Right to Know Act. Why do you think this bill is good for New Hampshire women?
I believe that any surgical procedure, it is best for you to be informed about what's going on. I've had many surgical procedures in my own lifetime, and generally what happens is once surgery becomes an option, you meet with the surgeon and talk about the consequences, and you talk about possible alternatives, and then you return for the surgery. It just made sense to me that abortion is a fairly significant procedure, and so it is also necessary that someone be informed of the consequences and the potential harms that can occur because of it, and then make an informed decision.
How much do you think, Senator White, this is a departure from the way that we operate now in New Hampshire?
From what I'm told, it's would be a significant departure, and certainly that's why I think it's controversial. It appears that abortion, unlike most surgical procedures, is done on the same day the decision is made to do so. That process I outlined of meeting with the surgeon ahead of time and then considering it for a time does not occur. And often that the same day the decision is made, the procedure is done, and I think that's potentially harmful.
And we'll get into some of the details in a minute. But Representative Bouchard, you're the one who called this bad medicine and bad public policy. Why is it so bad, in your opinion?
Well, I think it's very bad public policy because, as the senator said, the statement that our medical community does not inform women on the risk of this of the procedure does not inform women on any of the healthcare aspects, and it's simply not true. Why would our doctors and healthcare providers on this medical procedure treat women any different than they do on any other medical procedure? The facts are women are counseled on other options. Women are told, you know, that there's, you know, are you sure you want to do this? And informed if that of abortion, that's not the only. They're not forced into the abortion. They have the option of information on adoption. Excuse me, and to keep the baby and resources out there that will help them keep the baby. This is the first time in this state that we are dictating exactly how healthcare providers should treat a patient, what they should say, and a lot of what they're being mandated by the state of New Hampshire to say is simply untrue. And so I think that is very dangerous when you have legislators making medical public policy, medical decisions on what doctors must say. And if the doctors do not say what is in this bill for them to say, there's a Class A felony currently.
Although they're looking at getting rid of that felony, right?
There
this is a point of controversy.
The bill did pass the House, went to a second committee, and that committee did remove the Class A felony, and now there's just civil action against the healthcare provider or the doctor. So, I mean, it's still very severe. I mean, we don't get knee surgery. You're not treated like this. You know, it's discriminatory. Men getting vasectomies or Viagra, they're not treated to this whole litany of tests and having to, you know, it's shameful.
What do you mean?
Well, I just, as the doctor said, the decision made that day to assume that a woman who finds herself in a pregnancy and it doesn't think about the termination long and hard before she makes that phone call. It's not a decision made that day. It's a decision that had been made long before she made that phone call. And the assumption when the woman does contact the healthcare provider that there isn't a conversation individually tailored to her health and her needs and what that woman wants and what's the best medical treatment for that woman. Asking a woman to look at pictures, state-mandated pictures, a state-provided streaming video that a woman would have to look for, to me, it's just shameful and unconscionable. And not only that, they talk about they want smaller government, government out of our lives. This isn't smaller government. This adds two employees to the Health and Human Services to go along with all the reporting that the healthcare providers have to do. It adds civil penalties. Even if the felony stays in, there's a felony. And not only that, it will cost the state of New Hampshire, Health and Human Services said, over $100,000 a year to do the reporting and everything that's in this bill. So I think it goes too far. I think it's an insult to our medical community that somehow when they provide services to women, it's somehow the protocol is less than standard.
What do you think about that, Senator White? I have heard others say what Representative Bouchard says, that this is insulting to women. It just depicts them as, you know, willy-nilly making this decision, and that it's insulting to medical providers that they willy-nilly give this procedure. Representative Bouchard is saying that is just not how it happens.
Well, first of all, I would not assert that everybody is willy-nilly. But I will assert that I have talked to women who have actually had abortions and years later have come to regret it and didn't feel like they received the information that they needed to make a good choice and, in fact, feel now that they made a bad choice. And I'll again use an analogy in my own personal life. My oldest son is autistic, and he's 21 now. And 21 years ago, there was really little to no discussion of the possibility, not the proof, but the possibility that perhaps vaccines have something to do with autism. So we had Randy immunized just like any other child because I had no other information. But my youngest son, many years later, there was, again, there's not a proven link, but at least there was anecdotal discussion that there could be a link between autism and vaccines. So with my youngest son, I didn't have him vaccinated till he was 6 years old. I didn't follow the normal schedule. I felt like I had information that I needed. And so that's what this bill seeks to do. This is a irreversible decision, a serious decision with serious consequences. And I think it is reasonable that we ensure that the parties involved have access to all the information they need to make a good decision.
Our phone number here in the exchange is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Today in the exchange, again, we're looking at the abortion debate in New Hampshire. Three new House bills would further raise the bar for abortion, including the one that we're talking about right now. This is the Women's Right to Know Act, which would require doctors to give detailed information about abortion, fetal development, adoption options, and so forth. Our number for you to join us is 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR, or send us a short email, theexchange@nhpr.org is the address. You can also talk with us on Facebook. A couple more questions before we go to our listeners. Just following up with you, Senator White, and then you, Representative Bouchard, how much do you think, Senator White, that this additional information will discourage women to go through with abortion, and is that the goal?
Well, from my standpoint, I'm unashamedly pro-life. It is part of my goal. Although I would say that even the pro-choice community claims that they wish abortion were rare, that they think less abortion is better than more abortion. And so I think more information actually is in the best interest of everybody. But again, I am not trying to hide the fact that I'm pro-life. If it was up to me, there would be no abortion, and I'm not ashamed of that position.
What do you think, Representative Bouchard? This is, as Senator White said, an unalterable procedure. He says some women down the line regret that they had it. Why should women not have this, you know, these uncomfortable details given to them, given the magnitude of that choice?
First of all, I think women who decide to terminate a pregnancy clearly understand what that means. I mean, it's very clear when you make a decision that you're going to terminate a pregnancy. Second of all, I still disagree that this information is given to women about the procedure and the risk and all other alternatives. What this legislation does, it mandates state-designed pamphlets, a state-designed streaming video that is clearly designed with the only impact to shame women, to scare women, and I think that's where the problem is. Now we are telling the healthcare providers, the medical society, what they should say and what they should show their patients, whether it's factual or not. That's the issue. There are 14 lines, at least 14 lines in this legislation that discuss the connection between abortion and breast cancer. Now, if the American Society of Cancer has done studies, there's no link. The National Cancer Institute has done studies, there's no link. There is absolutely no link to breast cancer and abortion. And yet it's in this bill, and we are asking doctors to tell their patients, or it's a felony.
Well, and we'll talk more about that after a short break. And take your calls to the exchange number, 1-800-892-6477. We'll be right back.
Good morning, it's 919, and support for NHPR comes from UR members. Support also comes to us from Southern New Hampshire Medical Center and Foundation Medical Partners, working together to design healthcare around you, where you live and work, snhmc.org. And Jensen Communities, with six locations in New Hampshire, including the New Brook Ridge Community in Hooksett, one-floor living in safe-friendly neighborhoods, jensencommunities.com. More on the abortion debate in New Hampshire on The Exchange on NHPR and at 10 on The Diane Rehm Show, the killing of Trayvon Martin and what it says about race relations in America. New Hampshire weather today, sunny and windy, high temperatures from 35 to 45. Temperatures will be dropping throughout the day. Tonight, clear to partly cloudy, much cooler. Lows near 5 above in the North Country, ranging to 15 to 20 degrees in southern areas of the state. Mostly sunny, breezy tomorrow, highs from 35 north, ranging 45 in the south. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Today in The Exchange, the abortion debate has been heating up nationally and in the New Hampshire legislature. We've been looking at some of the bills on the Granite State agenda. We invite you to join us at 1-800-892-6477 or send a short email to exchange@nhpr.org. Also, The Exchange is now on Facebook, so we hope you go to our page, join the conversation there. 1-800-892-6477 again is the phone number. Our guests are State Representative Candace Bouchard. She's a Democrat from Concord, and Senator Ray White, a Republican from Bedford and Merrimack. And both of you left a call, so let's go to them. Robin's calling in from Portsmouth. Hi, Robin. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. Hello, Laura. I had a quick question, and that was whether other procedures that are performed, such as anything like a heart transplant, any medical procedure, if there are laws on the books on the state level to determine what doctors are supposed to say to patients, or if that is generally the rule that is always handled by the health organizations themselves and their own standards.
So with other procedures, you're saying, Robin, we pretty much leave it up to doctors to describe the risks and complications and whatever you're asking.
I'm asking that question. Yeah. I don't know if there are laws for other procedures. And it seems to me that if this has been singled out as the only one, that there's a political agenda there as opposed to, you know what I mean? I want to know if it's being singled out or if there's any other laws like that.
Okay. Robin, thanks for calling in. Senator White and then Representative Bouchard. Go ahead, Senator White.
There are things in the public health realm that certainly government involves themselves in. As you know from the recent controversy with the Executive Council and the money with Planned Parenthood, and then the federal government stepped in, it's impossible to discuss the politics of abortion without discussing public funding of the agencies that perform it. And so to the caller's question, to Robin's question, I would say that generally speaking, when there's public money involved in really health procedures, then there are some government interventions.
What if a woman sought an abortion and was completely paying out of her own pocket or her insurance was covering it and there wasn't public funding involved?
That's an interesting concept, and perhaps it could come up in the bill. I wasn't there for the House debate, and so possibly Representative Bouchard could comment on that. But I think that a case could be made that if there's an agency that's not funded by the public, such as Planned Parenthood, and entirely privately funded, that there might be a carve-out for something like that.
Representative Bouchard?
Thank you. First of all, no public funding goes towards abortion. I mean, there's federal law against that. No public funding goes towards abortion. This is the first time that a procedure would be dictated by the legislature. And that is why the Medical Society opposes this legislation. In fact, they say in the letter, it's not appropriate to legislate such a specific requirements for any medical procedure. So the Medical Society is very much against this. And this has been, as the caller implied, this has been singled out. This is not done otherwise.
I'm sorry to interrupt you. Yeah, what do you think, Senator White, about that? The New Hampshire Medical Society says, look, don't tell us what to say. We're doctors.
Abortion is singled out in a lot of ways that actually favors the pro-choice argument. My sons, I've mentioned my young son, he cannot go have a surgical procedure without the knowledge of his parents. Abortion is different than that. And the pro-choice community has argued for years that a minor girl should be able to have an abortion without notifying their parents and so forth. So to say that this is just like any other medical procedure really ignores the politics around it, the controversy around it. Quite frankly, it's not like any other medical procedure.
And we'll talk about the parental notification and the bill towards that. Yeah, Representative Bouchard.
Laura,
yeah,
just, you know, that's one subject, is parental notification. But what we're talking about right now is House Bill 1659.
The woman's right to know.
And the legislature dictating policy to the medical profession that is not science-based, and it's only made to delay health care for women, and it's shame and disgrace. So that's the topic right now.
Let's take another call. Again, the number 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. Again, join us with your thoughts and comments on this Women's Right to Know Act that we've been talking about. Would require some detailed information be given to the woman before she has a procedure. What do you think about these efforts? 1-800-892-6477, 1-800-892-NHPR. NHPR. You know, actually, before we go to our listeners, I did want to ask you, Senator White, there was something, let's just wrap up the parental notification aspect. That's another bill that's before the state legislature. The House said that girls who want a judicial bypass, that is getting a judge's okay when they're afraid to tell a parent. Judges used to have to be available 24/7 under a House bill. Judges wouldn't have to do it on the weekends. The girl would have to wait. What do you think about that proposal? What's the thinking behind that?
Well, I think, again, it ties into even the topic we're discussing, and I would question why the rush to make abortion something that needs to be on demand on a moment's notice. The bill that we're discussing seeks just a small waiting period in terms of being notified and then having the procedure. The judicial bypass and what you're discussing may have the inconvenience of waiting the weekend. Here again, why is the other side of the argument so forceful about that this has to be done immediately with no consideration or no reconsideration, no time for reconsideration? I don't understand the logic of I've got to have access to an abortion 24/7, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. It's not logical.
And since, again, this came up, parental notification, let's just deal with that real quickly, Representative Bouchard, too. Why 24/7 access for minors?
The judicial bypass that the senator's referring to and the changes to the law was actually requested by the courts. The bill going forward gives the young woman a broader choice of courts that she can access. And the courts did not feel they had the resources to make the 48-hour timeline. This is constitutionally protected right of young women to have an abortion. And to have parental notification, the state has to ensure that the young woman's privacy is protected and that she has access in a timely manner. The concern about making it a 2 business days to go before a judge is if it's a long weekend, and then it becomes more than 2 business days. But if the young woman files on a Friday, so it's a matter of time of getting to a judge and to get the health care she needs in a timely manner. And there's also an appeals process if it's needed. So it's not a willy-nilly decision to have an abortion on the young woman's part. This is something that the state of New Hampshire has said that she's entitled to and that the Supreme Court has said that there needs to be a judicial bypass.
Well, I've got a couple more questions on this parental notification issue, but let's go back to our callers now. Megan's in Goffstown. Hi, Megan. Go ahead.
Hi. I feel the informing the patients and giving them that much information doesn't do any harm. I feel when you make a decision, you need to be informed. I mean, especially at my high school, girls are really sexually active and they're really blasé about it because they don't, they feel like abortion is so easy and so accessible. So I feel like giving the kids the information will make it a more serious decision. And I know it is a serious decision for older kids, but at my high school, it's not a big deal.
Wow, Megan, that's pretty profound. So at your high school, girls aren't careful because they feel like, well, I can just get an abortion. They don't really appreciate the seriousness of this decision.
Yes, that's the case here.
Wow. Okay, thanks for calling in. What do you think, Representative Bouchard?
Well, I think that's a very sad statement because I think if a young woman finds herself having with a pregnancy that she decides to terminate, she's going to find it's not that easy to access an abortion. But at the same time, I think we have to remember that the medical community is giving this information out. It's the problem with this bill is how the state is mandated that information would be given out. But the healthcare providers and the medical society do inform women of everything that they need to know concerning abortion.
Maybe it's not enough, though, given Megan's comment. Maybe it's not enough.
What do you mean?
Well, in terms of fetal development and the consequences and alternatives to abortion, having an adoption.
But they do all that already. So, so the point of having pictures presented to a woman in a private room and then a streaming video showing, the heartbeat and, it's I think it's more than informing women of what the procedure is. And once again, we don't do this with any other procedure.
Megan, thanks for that call. And here's a comment from our Facebook page. Sarah commented. She said, medical decisions should be made between a patient and their medical provider. HB 1659 would insert politicians into that equation. Sarah says the same politicians who campaigned on a promise of smaller government are now looking to increase government interference into women's personal private decisions concerns regarding abortion. She says among the misinformation this bill would mandate, doctors would be required to lie to their patients by providing them with state-maintained information that says abortion causes breast cancer, a statement that has been proven false by numerous scientific studies. Lots of points there from Sarah, Senator White, but the one I think that we could pick up on is the same politicians who campaign on a promise of smaller government are looking to increase government interference. What do you think about that broad philosophical statement from Sarah?
I am definitely one of those politicians who did campaign on smaller government. But as I mentioned, abortion is a politically charged issue because let us not forget that there are in those that are pro-life, in my opinion, there are two lives at stake, not just one. And so even though I'm for small government, I certainly have to argue on behalf of the unborn child and the rights that the unborn child has. Nobody can speak for the unborn child, so I have to do that. And secondly, I come back to the idea, again, of public money, because we had a great debate in New Hampshire about that. The leading provider of abortion in the United States is Planned Parenthood. They received a lot of government money. And even though Representative Bouchard is correct, we do have the Hyde Amendment that does not allow for the direct payment of abortion by public money. The fact of the matter is, if the largest provider of abortion is getting lots and lots of public money, it's difficult to separate those two concepts. And that's why we had the controversy that we had in our executive council this year. And that's why this controversy plays out across the country.
If abortion were completely out of pocket, privately funded, would this Women's Right to Know Act stand as well as you think it stands now? If this were all just a private funded issue? Is public money the real issue here, or is it more, you know, you feel like this is wrong?
I don't want to make it sound like I am not pro-life and that if we eliminated the money argument that I would be against that bill, because that's not the case. But I have to say that's a major component of what we're discussing here, quite frankly, and I think it's a major component of why abortion is such a highly charged issue, because it's difficult to separate the fact that we have a group of taxpayers like myself that are forced to subsidize an organization like Planned Parenthood that we don't agree with. And then when we finally have an executive council who tries to put a stop to that at the state level, the federal government comes around and steps in itself. And that makes it a highly charged issue.
What do you think about this public funding issue, Representative Bouchard?
I think the public funding issue is an issue that the Anti-Choice Committee has community has put on the table to close down Planned Parenthood. The fact is, no public money by Planned Parenthood is used for abortions. The funds are completely separated. There are audits done on the federal level and on the state level, and Planned Parenthood of Northern New England has an unblemished record. So the money is not commingled. The abortions that Planned Parenthood provides to women, it's not using federal money. But what Planned Parenthood of Northern New England is doing here is providing health care and birth control for low-income women, women without insurance, and they also provide health care procedures for men. So I firmly support Planned Parenthood, and I strongly disagree that the funds are commingled.
Although, and this is not our subject today, you know, Planned Parenthood and the public funding, but you guys have raised my interest. The argument, Representative Bouchard, I'm sure you've heard this, is no, the public money doesn't go to abortions, but because it does get some public money, Planned Parenthood can use the leftover money for abortions. You know what I'm saying? Like if you get public money to help you with, you know, pap smears, so you can now use that money that you would have had to spend on pap smears to subsidize the abortion side.
For every penny of public money has to be accounted for by Planned Parenthood, and they are audited. So the money is not commingled.
I understand
I understand, but a lot of people compare it like building a house. You know, if I have a little money left over, I can have a nicer roof, let's say, better shingles. But there is no, when you're building a house, there's not one pot of money that can only go for the house, and you can't touch that money to build the roof. It is completely separated. So
Let's take another call. This is Devera in Nashua. Hi, Devera. Go ahead.
Yes. Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm a female physician in Nashua. I volunteered as a college student at Planned Parenthood, and I want to give a great shout-out to that organization for the wonderful work they do helping poor women have access to health care. I'm strongly against this legislation. I think it's people who have no medical training and have, you know, have a right to their own beliefs about what's religious and morally okay, trying to influence the medical treatment between doctors and their patients. I think that doctors work very hard to educate and inform women and support them in a variety of choices they have regarding fertility and pregnancy.
Devera, can I ask you a quick question? And
yes.
I'm glad you called. You said you're a doctor or?
Yes.
Yeah. What did you think about the call we got earlier from Megan, who said that girls in her high school don't take it seriously, are not careful with sexual activity because they figure, well, I can just get an abortion?
Yeah, that's a really, you know, that's a very complicated thing. I feel that girls need to be educated, as do boys, because they're half of the situation when someone gets pregnant. And teenagers need to be educated and given access to birth control so they can make wise choices. And when they do get pregnant, luckily, when they go to a provider to find out about having an abortion, they're also counseled on adoption and other options so that they can make an informed decision.
So this type of discussion is happening already. And we talked about this a little bit earlier, Senator White, but I wonder what you think. You know, she, again, like some of our earlier listeners, is saying doctors are already doing this. We don't need the state dictating us how to run things in our offices. What do you think?
I believe that there probably are some doctors who are doing this, but I also believe that there's a lot of evidence out there that some are not talking about that. We are all familiar with the controversy surrounding Planned Parenthood. There were some hidden camera investigations and so forth where information wasn't being dispensed. We're talking about sometimes young, vulnerable women who are not even getting to meet the doctor who's going to do the procedure, not even knowing the person's name. If there's a complication after the fact, they're not even sure who was involved with their procedure. I mean, these are serious issues.
We'll take more calls after a short break. Thanks for that one, Devera. Our number here on the exchange is 1-800-892-6477. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday, doesn't shy away from the big questions.
So does America need to produce more scientists and engineers?
Okay, let's talk about
signs of an early spring, that we humans have more in common with gorillas than we think. And where does the dark energy live?
I'm Brady Carlson. Join me as I sit down with Ira to discuss scientific questions of all kinds. We'll be at UNH Durham on May 1st. For tickets and information, visit nhpr.org.
This event sponsored in part by NEBCO and the University of New Hampshire.
Support for NHPR comes from UR members and from Ford and Weaver PA, attorneys representing businesses and institutional creditors in bankruptcy and troubled debt matters from their offices in Portsmouth, New Hampshire. And Restaurant Week Portsmouth and the Seacoast, a 10-day culinary experience featuring 42 restaurants today through Sunday. Details at restaurantweekportsmouth.com. Good morning, it's 9:40. This is NHPR.
This is The Exchange. I'm Laura Kanoy. Tomorrow on The Exchange, the controversy over education tax credits for businesses which contribute to private school voucher programs. Email us your thoughts and concerns before the program at exchange@nhpr.org and join us tomorrow morning, live at 9. Today, a look at the state legislature's efforts to toughen up New Hampshire's abortion laws. Join us with your comments and questions. We've been talking about one bill in particular called the Women's Right to Know Act. What do you think of these efforts to raise the threshold before a woman can have an abortion? Should the state make it a little tougher for women to choose this option, or not? And do you think girls under age 18 fall into a different category when it comes to abortion and access to it? Our number, 1-800-892-6477. Email is exchange at nhpr.org. For a national take on this issue, we go now to Lydia Saad. She's senior editor at the Gallup Polling Organization. And Lydia, thanks for making the time for us this morning. We appreciate it.
Oh, thank you for having me.
What does your polling show how Americans feel overall about abortion, Lydia?
Yeah, it's, the best thing word I could say is ambivalent. And that's not the same as unsure. But Americans have, you know, they're strongly supportive of abortion rights in some situations, particularly women's health and life, caused by rape and incest. And, you know, the majority don't think Roe v. Wade should, quote-unquote, be overturned. At the same time, you get 70 to 90% saying that abortion should not be legal in the second and third trimesters broadly. The slight majority considers abortion, quote-unquote, immoral. And they large majorities are in favor of a lot of these restrictions we see going on at the state level in terms of informed consent, parental consent, 24-hour waiting periods. So it's a very complex web of opinions, but, you know, very nuanced. I think Americans kind of know what they believe, and it's not exactly what's being espoused on either the right or the left in terms of the, you know, the pro-choice and pro-life advocacy groups that represent those issues. Americans are definitely somewhere more in the middle.
Wow. So lots of gray for people here. They know how they feel, but it doesn't fit into one easy-to-define hole for a poster to fill in, does it?
It doesn't, but, you know, when we ask them, do you consider yourself pro-choice or pro-life, they can answer it, and it's a very even split over the last decade or so. I think we have about 49% saying pro-choice and 45% saying pro-life in our most recent polling on that. So very even split. They can categorize themselves, but when you look at this more specific views of people that call themselves pro-choice or pro-life, mm-hmm. it's not always what you'd expect.
What differences do you see, Lydia, about among different age groups? For example, are younger people more or less likely to oppose abortion?
The big divide is between seniors or people, say, 50 and older, and everybody younger than that.
Really?
There's not a huge difference by age, but definitely the older generation, the oldest generation, is less supportive of abortion rights. Those younger are a little bit more, but still you're looking at fairly even divides on many of these issues. Interestingly, you don't see people getting more and more liberal on the issue as they get young, you know, with the younger age groups. The people that we look at 18 to 29 are pretty similar to those who are 30 to 49 in their views. It's just those older Americans that tend to be a little more conservative.
What about between men and women? Do you see a lot of differences there, Lydia?
No, you know, it's definitely considered a women's issue, but men and women are very similar in their views. Women might be a little bit more, have stronger views on it, be a little bit more likely to say it's a voting issue for them. But you're on the extremes of the issue, those that are very pro-life or very pro-choice, it's about even among women.
And among Republicans and Democrats, I would imagine there you've got some divides.
Yeah, the big differences on abortion are by politics and religion, two very uncomfortable issues, right?
Right.
Yes, so we definitely see Republicans and Democrats holding quite opposite views, and support for abortion rights much less among highly religious Americans and much stronger among atheist, agnostic people that don't attend church very often.
So how have you seen this issue, public opinion on this issue, Lydia, change over time? You mentioned you haven't seen that much change over the past decade.
Right. And really, we started polling on this in the mid-70s, and we haven't seen that much difference even since then, even when you break it down into trimesters and situations and various policies. Attitudes have been remarkably stable over quarter century or more on this issue, but very complex. And, you know, I think what might be a little infuriating for the public is they've been pretty clear for 25, 30 years what sort of mix of policies they support. But for some reason, our political system, you know, kind of looks at it as an either-or situation instead of those nuanced grays. But yeah, over time, there was a period in the 90s, early 90s, when support for the pro-choice position was much stronger, in late 80s also, when there was the abortion clinic violence going on, that really put a black eye on the pro-life movement, and people were less likely to take those positions. And the pro-choice side really benefited. Then in the mid to late 90s, the partial birth abortion issue became prominent. It was a major debate in Washington under the Clinton years. And that sort of defined more what it meant to be pro-life. And people are very opposed to that, so the pro-life position went up. And since then, it's moderated a little bit. And it's, like I said, it's really quite even right now.
Well, Lydia, thank you very much. Real interesting stuff.
Okay, anytime.
Bye-bye. That's Lydia Saad, senior editor at the Gallup Polling Organization. Our number here in the Exchange is 1-800-892-6477. And just real quickly before we go back to our listeners, Representative Bouchard, she said, look, you know, even people who call themselves pro-choice favor some of these laws, like the one that Senator White supports, informed consent, parental notification. I wonder what you think about that.
Well, I think Lydia articulated in the poll shows that abortion is a very personal and difficult decision based on a woman's own conscience and her own moral values. So I think that's what the poll shows. I think when you just say, what do you think about informed consent, most people would say, yes, we want women to know what the procedure is. We want women to have health care that is tailored to their medical situation. And that is happening. That's what's happening now. But I think if the people who answer that question could read in detail what this bill does, that it gives unscientific mandates, unscientific information being given to women, I think it'd be different. This bill does not have an exception for rape or incest. The woman who has been raped or is a victim in incest would also have to go through this litany of state-mandated materials and video. So a woman who the medical emergency piece it's unclear whether a woman who has a pregnancy that has gone wrong that does not need an emergency medical abortion would have to go through this. This bill lacks a lot of compassion.
Could you jump in there real quick, Senator White, and then we'll go back to our listeners. The idea that there are these emergencies that come up where you really don't want to wait 24 hours. The woman's health is in danger.
The bill has a very robust intent and findings section, and one of the sections right in the front says that they will adopt the construction of the term medical emergency accepted by the U.S. Supreme Court in Planned Parenthood versus Casey. It's quite prominently there in the front end of the bill. So I disagree with that, and there is a robust section of definitions that talks about complications and medical emergencies. This bill is from model legislation that has been enacted in many states. I believe there's 31 states have some sort of informed consent law. So it's not like New Hampshire is trailblazing here. This is fairly accepted language in a lot of states. And like I said, we do have a robust front end of the bill that I think addresses many of the concerns Representative Bouchard has outlined.
Let's see if we can get a couple more calls in. And up next is Susan in Tamworth. Hi, Susan. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, Laura. How are you?
Fine. Go ahead, Susan.
Well, I'm a grandmother. 18 years ago, when my daughter became pregnant, she went to Planned Parenthood. And they counseled her and her then boyfriend, now husband, to talk to her parents, which she did. And I think that in all this discussion about Planned Parenthood promoting abortion, there's very little discussion about Planned Parenthood discussing with girls what's right for them. My now 18-year-old grandson is a joy, and so are his siblings. The marriage is fine. Planned Parenthood did this for us, for our family. And I'd like that piece to be known.
Well, thanks for calling, Susan. What do you think, Senator White? This gets back to what we said, what Representative Bouchard said earlier. Medical organizations are doing what you want them to do.
Well, that's a great story from the caller, and I'm pleased to hear that. And I've tried in my brief Senate career not to cast every issue that it applies to every person. I think there's people of goodwill in all kinds of places. But again, as your Gallup conversation outlined, abortion has been a very controversial issue for a very long time. And I think even in the public, there are there's an appetite for guardrails around this procedure. And that's what I think this bill is about. And I don't think it's out of the mainstream to ask for reasonable restrictions on such a serious matter.
You know, there's one more bill that we haven't talked about yet. We talked about judicial access for minors seeking abortions. And we've talked a lot about this Women's Right to Know Act. Representative Bouchard, there's a third bill that came out of the House where you serve, and that's a ban on late-term abortions. Lots of states have this. How concerned are you about this ban on late-term abortions?
Well, first of all, I think the federal government has a ban on late-term abortions. My concern is more in the bill, the language in the bill, where, once again, we have politicians making policy about health care. And the bills, usually, and the one going through the State House, does not have adequate exceptions for the women's health in them. So,
and I have read that these are very rare in New Hampshire.
Very, 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 very rare. Performed when heartbreaking circumstances. But once again, this is a decision that is made by the women, by the woman and her medical provider, and this is not something that the state should be stepping into and directing medical policy. Unfortunately, you know, the anti-choice side has been a very clever in calling this partial birth abortion. So, you know, everybody cringes at that. But that's not what it is. And once again, I don't think we should have government involved in women's health care or anyone's health care.
So there's a federal ban, Senator White, on late-term abortions. So does New Hampshire even need to pass this law itself?
I believe that we, like a lot of health care laws, that we definitely need to have a state say. I'm a big state's rights person, and I think we need to have our say on every issue that's controversial. I will say that I believe that the pro-choice position and the abortion movement, if you will, is on a collision course with medical science. And one of the reasons that I think things do become more and more controversial is because fetal viability happens at an earlier and earlier age. I am very familiar with a situation right now. A politically active person had an extremely premature baby who looks like that baby is going to survive and have a fruitful life. And as people, the public, see that more and more, it becomes harder and harder to argue a case for late-term abortion in particular.
Let's take one more call if we could. This is Jerry in Freedom. Jerry, thanks for waiting. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes. Hi, Laura. I've actually called in before, but usually I'm calling about issues about pain. I was a spine surgeon in the past, so I really actually have a lot of knowledge about issues of informed consent. And indeed, informed consent is often something where we talk to patients about what the risks of a procedure are. Dartmouth has been championing what's called shared decision-making, which is a model that explores the pros and cons of a decision, including the various alternatives. And that is something which we're trying to get people to do more aggressively. It does require education by the provider. But that education shouldn't be determined by politicians with a political agenda. It should be done by the medical community. But I also have to point out this is done, and it is done in the abortion setting. About 30 years ago, my wife worked in the Bill Baird Center, which is a contraception and abortion center in Boston. And she worked there counseling women about their various choices, including when she was obviously pregnant, 8 or 9 months pregnant, she was still working there. And, you know, she clearly was somebody who didn't have an agenda of being against babies, but she was she had a strong agenda of educating women as to what their choices were. The whole idea of singling out abortion to do this education from a legal standpoint from the state is clearly a political agenda, because it singles out one procedure not the other vast multitude of procedures that we do.
Okay. Well, Jerry, thanks for calling in. And again, reiterating both of you what we heard from one or two other listeners, which is they feel that doctors are already doing this work. And we talked about that. Thank you, Jerry, for calling in. I did want to ask both of you, and I think I'll go to you first, Senator White, since you have been behind this Women's Right to Know Act, a co-sponsor of the bill in the House. What do you think is going to happen next? This bill has sort of almost left the House and then went back into the House. Where is this on the path to becoming law, in your opinion?
Well, they did do some work in the committee about the penalty section. So
for
I think
doctors
that,
who don't follow this.
I think that probably has the a chance of bringing on some more votes. So I'm hopeful that we'll see this legislation in our body. And if we do, obviously I'm going to support it and work for it.
Some people thought that the felony was too harsh, and so they talked about reducing those penalties.
That's correct.
What's your prediction, Representative Bouchard? And I know it's always tricky to predict what the legislature is going to do.
I don't want to predict what the legislature is going to do, but this bill did have a strong opposition to it on the House floor. I think now that more people know exactly what is in the bill, regardless whether the felony gets removed or not, I think we'll keep the strong opposition. And I think New Hampshire legislators want to trust New Hampshire doctors in the medical community with women's health.
And okay. Well, both of you, not an easy topic, and I really appreciate you coming in on a Monday to talk about this. Thank you, Senator White, for being here.
Welcome.
That's Senator Ray White, Republican State Senator from Bedford and Merrimack. And Representative Bouchard, good to see you, too. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Laura.
That's Candace Bouchard, a Democratic State Representative from Concord, co-chair of the House Reproductive Rights Coalition. The Exchange is a production of New Hampshire Public Radio. The engineer is Dan Colgan. Our producer is Ellen Grimm. Our volunteer is Priscilla Malcolm. Our intern is Karen Gohl. Our theme music was composed by Bob Lord. The Exchange's executive producer is Keith Shields. And I'm Laura Knoy.